Hi, Greg Perry, the Historic Preservationist. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 62. We're talking about American architecture. In today's episode, A Landscape of Wooden Buildings. So besides the relative scarcity of early American buildings, perhaps the most obvious difference between the British landscape and the remnants of its colonial American counterpart is the type of materials used. It is sometimes difficult to see the similarities in plane and structure when the materials are so different. Britain is rich with a variety of materials used for walls and roof coverings, and the availability and use of local materials distinguished patterns of vernacular building to a degree that was unknown to the New World. Most local and regional studies of English vernacular architecture began with a discussion of what lies below ground. A geological composition of this area has had a profound impact on building materials, determining if flint, sandstone, limestone, chalk, or some other naturally occurring resource would eventually replace timber as the material of choice in a particular area which is most medieval with the period. And it is indeed amazing from an American perspective to see the relatively narrow compass of geographical preponderance of one material over another. Travel 5 or 10 miles in one direction and you're in a totally different world. For instance, a village of predominantly flint buildings giving way to one whose stone or brick houses line the streets. Geology has played a limited role in shaping early American architecture. Because of the relatively short time span, 2 centuries of settlement and maturation before industrial production and lines of transportation began to transform the composition and availability of materials. There was only the most tangible influence of what lay beneath the earth on building practices. Early American was overwhelmingly a wooden world. The vast forests of America were perceived not as precious resources, but as weeds, impediments to travel and farming. Yet these unintending forests of oak, pine, poplar, cedar, and chestnut provided an inexhaustible supply of cheap building materials used throughout the mainland colonies. From the timber frames to weatherboards that enclosed them, and the shingles that cover their roofs. Buildings in early America were invariably wooden. Evidence from fragmentary data that survives from 1798 federal tax, which among other things enumerated building materials, indicates that more than 95% of the standing structures in America were wooden, either timber framed or log. Even within the preponderant wooden world, certain regional variations did appear. Fieldstone provided New England and Delaware Valley builders with an easy available source for building foundations and chimneys. Rhode Island had a small number of stone enders dwellings, which gave way to one gable end wall containing the chimneys was laid up entirely in fieldstone. While in the Delaware Valley, the number of surviving stone wall houses is far greater than at any other part of the eastern seaboard. But these buildings also stuck out as unusual in that a land dominated by log construction and timber framing. The absence of stone in the Tidewater region of Virginia and Maryland meant that brick was the only durable material. Brick may have been more common in the Chesapeake than in New England, among better built structures. But even here it was used sparingly compared to wood. Only a handful of wealthy planters, merchants, and provincial officials could afford brick, and it thus became the symbol of prestige in the Chesapeake landscape in the late 17th and 18th centuries. Bacon's Castle, built in 1665 in Surrey County, Virginia, was known by contemporaries as Arthur Allen's Brick House, indicative of the rarity of buildings erected with the material in the 17th century. The accumulation of wealth in the hands of a few large tobacco planters in the 18th century provided the financial basis for the construction of more durable and pretentious buildings in this region in the following century. In the Tidewater, a large number of these houses occupied by great planters, the principal Anglican church, parish churches, and county courthouses were bricked by the end of the colonial period. Their decorative detailing showed few variations from general English trends in brickwork, from artisan mannerist exuberance in the late 17th century to restrained classical facades by the second quarter of the 18th century, which Virginians christened neat and plain. This is the image that most people have of the region, and it is quite misleading. For example, more than 70 18th century Anglican brick churches survive in Virginia and Maryland, compared to no more than a half dozen framed ones, which has led many commentators to assert that masonry had all but supplanted wood as the chief building material amongst vestries in the Chesapeake area. However, the surviving few misrepresent the fact that most of the several hundred Anglican churches erected in the region in the colonial period were constructed of wood. The durability and prestige of brick, along with luck, has skewed the historical record somewhat. On a similar basis, only remnants of outbuildings, smaller dwellings, and an occasional store indicate the presence of quality of a far larger stock of timber frame and log buildings that once epitomized this landscape of America. Greg Perry, the Historic Preservationist, signing off. Thanks for listening.